growth that will ensure every generation of Canadians can reach their full potential.
More in the morning continues on News Talk 1010, Toronto.
That was Chrystia Freeland dropping her budget yesterday. Now, admittedly, we knew an awful lot of the contents before it was revealed, but we got some very important information yesterday, including what I've been calling the top line numbers. We're talking $480 billion. We're talking a deficit just under $40 billion. Here with analysis is like our super panel. Scott Reed is here, former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin, who, as I was noting yesterday, also happens to be possibly the greatest finance minister we ever had. So some good insight there. Lisa Raitt, former federal cabinet minister. Thomas Mulcair, former leader of the opposition. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, John.
Let's start with the basic takeaway, and then we'll work our way out. And Thomas Mulcair, I'll start with you. When you look at this budget, what do you see?
Well, I see that Trudeau kept one promise that he made in 2015 when we ran against each other. He promised never to have a balanced budget. This is his ninth budget. He's kept that promise. I can't think of too many others he's kept. This is a bit of smoke and mirrors. There's a lot of mirage in this. They're pushing forward spending that was promised for this year in previous budgets, and budgets are supposed to be reliable things under our system of government. They're pushing it forward. Massive amounts of money that was supposed to be there for the fight against climate change is simply being put forward. A lot of it is a mirage. And I think that that's what's going to take a little bit of time to trickle down. They boast that they're only having a deficit of $40 billion, but that's a huge deficit. And it...
Nope.
Oh, have we lost Thomas Mulcair? All
I
right.
think so.
Goodness, it's like the...
That's what you get for being critical of the government when they're in their ninth year. They take desperate measures.
You are
so long,
silenced.
Tom.
He's like the frog from Bugs Bunny. Okay, so let me move. We'll see if we can get back with Thomas Mulcair. But Scott Reed, your takeaway.
I'll come at it from a different perspective. I think running at about 24% in the polls in their eighth, ninth year, looking at the prospect of an election in the next 15 months or so, this government needed to fundamentally alter its trajectory. I was interested in the way it crafted the budget and the rollout of the budget, the 2 weeks of pre-announcements, trying to punch through, get people's attention, show that their priority is housing, younger voters. I'm not sure I agree with that demographic as their target, but in any event, they had a strategy. I thought yesterday their strategy was to try to get the Conservatives into a fight about taxing the rich, and I'm not sure they've done it. I'm not sure that the tax measures, we were all sitting around, David Dodge, former governor of the Bank of Canada, was telling us it was going to be the worst budget in history. Lisa was warning us about, you know, what the effect it may have in driving capital investment out of the country because they were going to tax the rich, they were going to tax corporations. And in the end, they just did a frankly, a pretty very narrowly prescribed hit on capital gains that I don't think is really going to have much economic impact, but also wasn't large enough to tempt the Conservatives into the main square to get them cheering for Galen Weston and putting on a save the rich instead of a hang the rich sweater. So we'll see how they roll out over the next number of days. But I think their political project was to get Pierre Poilievre into a debate about, are you going to force the rich to pay a little bit more? And I'm not sure they did enough to flush out Pierre Poilievre and to spark that debate, which they need desperately for political reasons.
Yeah, I would agree that the measures they announced are fairly artisanal in terms of the taxation department. Lisa Raitt, your turn.
I don't agree with either of you on that at all. I think that what they've done is they're stifling entrepreneurs and they're stifling that next generation who do want to go out and build a hell of a company and they do want to employ people. And I think they're going to take a look and say, where's my better bang for my buck? And they're going to look at the United States and they're going to go there. And I, you know,
are the inclusion rates 100%?
The founder of Shopify.
Come on, Lisa. It's very narrow.
Listen, I'm going to go with what the entrepreneurs say, Scott. The founder of Shopify was very clear last night that this is not going to be a good thing in terms of venture capital for startups. I'm going to go with what those guys say because I think they've lived it already. And I don't see them waving any large partisan flag in favor of Pierre Poilievre. But nonetheless, I would say this about the budget. Ninth budget, you can tell because it's 430 pages long because they have to go through an entire description of everything that they have ever done. Show your work, I guess, is the theme of it. And you finally get to the end of it. And I just see these gigantic deficits. I mean, we're applauding that we're sticking to $40 billion in the hole every year. Like, what do we amount to now? We're watching the interest on the debt increase so much that it rivals how much money we put into health. I mean, that to me is a marker that we have to take a look at. So no, I'm not happy with this budget. I don't think it's clever. And I think it is detrimental to the next generation.
Okay, let me come back to Thomas Mulcair, because you were dropped from the line at one point. So if you want to sort of conclude your overall impression of the budget, and then we'll keep moving.
Well, I want to go straight to a point that you used and the word that you used, which is artisanal, with regard to, and Scott was pleading that it was a tightly focused increase in the capital gains tax. I'll argue against that, because I'll go to my old provincial riding of Chomedey and Laval, which is north of Montreal. A lot of first-generation folks, a lot of them own on this massive road up there called Notre Dame, triplexes and quads, and that's your pension. You know, you're a small business person, you are an artisan, you're a craftsperson, you're a worker in one of the trades, and this is what you got. Nobody's giving you a government pension. This is what you've got. You've put your money aside, you've played by the rules, you've raised your family, and you've got something of value. And now you're being told that instead of 50% of the value of that being brought into income, it's 66 2/3% of that being brought. No warning, no way to prepare. This is what you've done. You've been a prudent administrator of your own family's money, and all of a sudden the government is whacking you over the head with this massive increase. This is not targeted to the ultra-rich, to the 0.14%. This is not true. The people who will be hurt the most by this in the largest numbers are good, hard-working people who have not seen this coming. There was no warning about it. We've been down this road before where we changed the number to 75 and to 66 2/3 and things like that. It's a field day for experts who have to go through it and find the moment of crystallization and when what gets taxed. This is not good. It is a massive tax increase, and it is not true that it's on the backs of the super rich.
Let's do a quick go round because there's not a lot of time on the clock, but I'm interested. I mean, the whole idea here is to change the conversation and perhaps, as they say in Quebec, sauver les meubles, save the furniture from the burning house. So Lisa Raitt, does this change the conversation?
No. They packed a lot in. I think what Canadians are looking for are outcomes. And unless they're seeing drops at the grocery store and unless they're seeing help in terms of getting reasonably priced rent in any of the major cities in Canada, they're not going to think it works.
Yeah, true. Thomas Mulcair, there doesn't seem to be a lot of takeaway in this budget in terms of affordability. And I thought that was what it was going to be all about.
He was supposed to be talking to Gen X and millennials. That fell flat. A lot of the housing stuff is pushed so far forward, it's virtually meaningless. For those of us who follow the issue of climate change, a lot of the promises in past budgets are being shoveled forward again. Corporate Knights have pointed out that there's a $14 billion gap that continues and more money that's going to be missing.
Okay. And Scott Reed, last word.
Well, I didn't think it was going to change the conversation, but based on the vigorous opposition to what I think is really a very narrow tax change that affects, you know, those making over $1.25 million per annum that I'm getting from Lisa and from Tom, maybe the Liberals can get people into that debate. Maybe they can get a conversation going, because frankly, I think if Pierre Poilievre follows the lead of Tom and Lisa, that's going to open up some political ground for the Prime Minister. But my honest take is they didn't do enough. They're not going to get that fight. And I don't think that it's going to alter the fundamental trajectory of the government in terms of its electoral fortunes.
Thank you all. Great to have you this morning. I always said I wanted all the greatest stars to orbit our planet, if that were possible in the universe. And former federal cabinet minister Lisa Raitt, former NDP leader Thomas Mulcair, Scott Reed, former advisor to Prime Minister Paul Martin.